Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you're flush and sometimes you're bust. And when you're up, it's never as good as it seems. And when you're down, you never think you're going to be up again. But life goes on. Remember that. Money isn't real, George. Doesn't matter. It only seems like it does.
And here we go. Wednesday, November 16th. Next week is Thanksgiving. Are you kidding me? Where's the time gone? Sean Hicks coming at you, your Thursday tailgate, but a day early. Now, I wasn't on the air last Thursday. Had the kids home, little teachers convention up here. Went away for a little bit, you know, not on the air. Sorry about that. I totally forgot to give a heads up about not being on the air that week. And obviously, next week is Thanksgiving, so I'll probably do a Wednesday night show, possibly a Wednesday day show. Maybe earlier in the morning, around 11 o'clock, to hit on the college football and Thanksgiving games. Week 11 NFL, week 12 college football, NBA and hockey underway, doing their thing. We have college hoops started up. More daily bankroll for you there. Now, I always mention leaderboards on Sean Hanks wins. And again, you can see these plays. Mine, Joe D'Amico, Tony K, Tony George, Matt Fargo, Jim Price, Razor Ray. You know all the cappers. On the Vegas group, it's Vegas Top Dogs, 10-star picks, my site, Sean Hanks wins. Now, when I send out newsletters from my specific page, I always send out promo codes. You see my promo codes on Twitter. They're good on my site. Not good on all the other sites. So you want to keep that in mind if you're going to purchase a package. You know, I ran a $99, basically, buy one, get one free. I just call it $99, but whatever capper you bought a week, you get another capper for free. Some of you guys joined up. I mean, buy one, get one, guys. How do you go wrong with that? I got some great subscriptions up right now. I always say, you know, long-term, I try to get guys on long-term. More than half the people who follow me have probably been on me since I started in 2006, back on the old Game Time Sports Advisors DGSA site I had with Greg Price. And I take care of the guys. You're going to buy my season package. I mean, here we go. So when we started GTSA, the monthly package was like $225 a month for a month of plays. You know, I sell in August now, September, all sports through Super Bowl for $500. Because I get, you know, you make money. I'm not looking for the site to make huge profits off the site. This is, you know, that's for podcasts and I had the 800 number, obviously emails and stuff like that, you know, buying subscriptions to, you know, the magazines and stuff like that. So I don't want to try to make killings off of some of my picks. That's why, you know, you see $19.99, $24.99. Obviously, the 10 stars go for $50. Because I want to try to get you to go on for a week. Why wouldn't you want to get on a little long term? Speaking of 10 stars, so I'm 7-1 my last 8 NFL. I dropped Carolina Panthers. Are you kidding me? Up 17-3. That was just a bad day all around. I put the Titans out as a free pick. I left winners all over the place. I like the Redskins. I like the Rams. The Dolphins we've been on multiple times. And just not meant to be. It was a bad weekend. And, you know, when it rains, it pours. What are you going to do? Still a nice winning season NFL action for me. College football, I've hit 7 of my last 10 head starts there. Not bad, 7 to 10, 70%. College football money bombs. Showing a little profit for that season. But real fast, like I said, you can get on board right now $300 to the Super Bowl. That's all sports over at SeanHiggsWins.com. All right, enough of that. Leaderboard-wise, Robin Saleni, over $10,000, plus 10,000 units. He's number one. Jesse Schuling, number two. Chip Chirimbas, Joe D'Amico, Jeff Hockman, Cajun Sports, Matt Fargo, myself, Tony K. All over 1,000. Razor A coming in close to 1,000. Chase Diamond, Tony George, Rocket Man, also on the profit. If you look over in NFL, Cajun Sports leading the way, Jeff Hoffman, Joe D'Amico, myself, Anthony Acosta. Again, Robin Slaney, Kyle Hunter, Rocket Man, Tony K, Razor Ray, Chip Drimbus. Everybody's in a plus. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 guys plus money. That's half my site. Showing profit in NFL. College football side of things, Kyle Hunter, number one. Shuley, 2. A.J. Penny, 3. Robin Slaney, Chase Diamond, Joe D'Amico, myself. Tony K, Tony George, Doc. I mean, we're all there for you. NBA side of things, your number one capper on the network is Chip Trimbus, followed by Frank Jordan. Again, guys, a limited NBA plays. You know, Chip and Frank and Matt Fargo have the most plays out. NHL-wise, still trying to find my stroke in NHL, man. Still a couple games under 500. I'm dogging it up. But then you got Tony Corleone, 65%. Plus 1,300. Jesse Shuley, 15-6, 72%. Chase Diamond. You know, these guys all got over 20 picks. You know, I got more than that, but not showing a profit yet. Last 2 years, I've shown a $3,000 profit combined the last 2 years. So, no turnaround. It always does. We're going to catch our goal line winners. We're going to catch our 175 dogs. We're going to build that bankroll. College hoop side of things. Last year, Matt Fargo was number one, Shuley 2, Cajun Sports 3, Razor Ray, Chip Tremors, Chase Diamond, myself, Mike Anthony, Robin Delaney, yada, yada, yada. Again, 15 guys showing a profit. Enough for the leaderboards. Let's get down to business. College football playoffs. The new rankings came out. Bama 1, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Louisville, Washington, Wisconsin, Penn State, Oklahoma, Colorado is your top 10. As everybody kind of knows, last week three of the four teams lost. And let's see what we have in store here. So Alabama's 10-0. I don't think no one's at Chattanooga. And then you got Auburn out there. Say Auburn wins. I still think Alabama gets a spot in the top four. I know they don't like late season losses, but I think Alabama stays. The big question really is this Ohio State team. 9-1 with their lone loss on the road at Penn State. Now, you think the committee would say, hey, head-to-head means something, right? Because that's what they're saying with Clemson and Louisville, right? Because Clemson beat Louisville, and Clemson's 4, Louisville's 5. Now, Penn State wins. Oh, this is Ohio State here. They got to beat Michigan State and Michigan. And then you got Penn State. They're playing a pair of teams that are 5-15, or Rutgers and Michigan State. Which they should take care of Rutgers. Michigan State's obviously having a down year. You know, they lost last year to them 55-16. So maybe they want to have a statement game here. Now, Penn State is the Big Ten champs. You know, I'm pretty sure the committee values conference champions. Isn't that why, like, they're like, well, you know, the Big 12, there's no conference championship game. How do you not take the Big Ten champ? You played head-to-head and you lost. Hey, Michigan beats them, then there's no worries. You know, Michigan beats Ohio State, then there's really no cause concern. The Big Ten championship game determines who represents one of the four spots in the playoffs. What about the Big 12? Oklahoma lost to Houston and Ohio State. Oklahoma State, they're number 11 in rankings. They lost to Central Michigan. Albeit, it was a play that's going to happen. And from what I've read, the committee takes that into consideration, even though it's a loss. But I guess you're telling me they don't consider it a loss because it shouldn't have been a loss on that crazy lateral play. And West Virginia, who lost to Oklahoma State. Now, one of these three teams has to win out. Obviously, you want to see it as more not Oklahoma because they have two losses, but one of the one-loss teams. We'll find out firsthand West Virginia and Oklahoma this weekend. But the Big 12 needs some help. Obviously, you need Houston to beat Louisville tomorrow or Kentucky to beat Louisville to knock them down a peg. Obviously, they're pulling for Michigan to win out. Michigan wins out. That basically takes care of Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. Having won against Ohio State and Whiskey. And then on Washington, you need them to lose to Washington State or in the Pac-12 championship. Interesting to say the least. Where's the love for Western Michigan? 21-0, obviously they're not getting a shot in the college football playoffs. You know, if you're going to penalize teams for who they have on the schedule, Oklahoma had Houston and Ohio State, two pretty good clubs. Western Michigan's like that little angry mid-major in college basketball. You don't want to schedule that guy. It doesn't help you when he comes in and knocks you off. And Michigan State, Western Michigan has knocked off Big Ten teams this year and in the past. Hopefully they get some kind of New Year's ball. When I say New Year's ball, I'm looking for a good ball for them. Not some MAC action ball. Give them a game against the Power 5 top 15 school. Let's see how they do. He's done a good job. They scored upsets already. I mean, he's done a good job with this team. Give them a chance, please. You know, you're going to go out of your way to bring in a 6-5 team from the SEC or somewhere to put them in a bowl game. Put the little school in a big bowl and see how they – I mean, these guys are ranked. They're going to obviously take care of Buffalo, the 35-point favorites this weekend. Come on, help them out a little bit here. Gotta like this little club. Again, PJ Fleck has been a giant killer. Well, not when I say a giant killer, but he's upset. We had him in the first week of the year. They beat Northwestern. They beat Illinois. You know, they play who they gotta play. They took care of business in a bowl last year versus Mid-Tennessee State. Last year, they scheduled Michigan State and Ohio State. They covered both games. And I'm not saying they should be in the top four. They covered against Purdue 2 years ago. They covered against Virginia Tech, both on the road. In 2014-2015 season. They covered against Michigan State on the road. They covered against Northwestern that year. They even had Iowa on the schedule. They lost that one bad, but they have no problem playing big schools. Give them a shot. It's kind of like when they take the old Big East days, they'd have 8 Big East teams. Oh, let's bring in this 20-12 Big East team. Come on, man. Give me the Horizon team. Give me Detroit, who's 24-4 out of Horizon, or San Diego State, or somebody out of the Big West. Give me something small. Give me another CAA team. As long as you talk about mid-majors, let's flip the page here. College basketball real fast. So the top 10 came out the other day. Duke number one. Kentucky two, Villanova. Oregon, North Carolina at five. Indiana, Kansas, Virginia, Whiskey, and Arizona round out the top 10. Duke promptly loses to Kansas. Oregon lost to Baylor. Wisconsin with Creighton. I've said before in my write-ups, I've said on these podcasts, college football, college basketball. Well, I did lose Georgetown yesterday, the 5.5-point fade to a ranked team. They were given points. It does happen. Whenever I see these ranked teams getting points, I'm laying. I'm laying with the home team. That's something I do. More often than not, that's going to put winners in your pocket, you know, 57, 58% of the time where you make money. Enough of that. Shut the book. We're going to go to the Dak Tony Romo talk. In fact, you know what? Real fast, we'll just look at the college football schedule for today and tomorrow. This Toledo game, I like the over 67, State Toledo. I like Northern Illinois to cover. They've been playing much better lately. Get some health issues there. Tomorrow night, I'm letting you know, I'm already starting my write-up already on Louisville. I'm unloading on Louisville, probably a best bet play for me tomorrow, minus the 14 in Houston. They're in a spot now where they got to really impress the voters. Say, listen, we're going to go drop a 60 on Houston. Houston, again, a little depressing, you know, not where they want to be, unranked. You know, they started the year great, beating Oklahoma. They dropped the game to Navy, which was bad, and then a terrible loss at SMU. We're never even in it. This is a big game for them, obviously. I mean, they have Memphis up next on the road, so last home game for them. But I think there's more on the line for Louisville here, simply based on the playoff standings of them being number five. They have to really they got revenge for last year. Houston beat them 34-31. So I expect Louisville to really have the big boy pants on tonight, or tomorrow night, rather. I'm thinking it's Thursday. It's really Wednesday. But I like Louisville tomorrow. Arkansas State, Troy. No real opinion there. I might go Arkansas State, maybe dog it up a little bit, but it's not something I looked at. Let me give you a quick top 25 matchups. Anything that really sticks out with me this weekend? How about LSU giving 14 points? Wow. It's a big number. Again, a lot of times I'll put out some top 25 games. A lot of times I don't. Number 22, Washington State, getting 4.5 from Colorado. That should be a fun game to watch. I think we'll see some points in that game, 60. Clemson's another team. Again, I don't like laying these big numbers on the road like Louisville tomorrow night. Clemson, 22.5. But they have to put some points up to let these voters say, hey, you know, we're a pretty good team here. You know, Washington off a loss, laying them 27. Oklahoma, West Virginia. Interesting game there. Who's winning out? West Virginia is actually winning with a little defense. Can they slow down the Sooners? Penn State, laying 28 to Rutgers. Rutgers cannot generate any offense. We'll get to Dak and Romo. So Romo had a nice press conference. Many people are like, oh, it's, you know, why did you come out saying that? One of the first podcasts in the year, we talked about the Vikings losing Bridgewater and then Peterson after that. Was I thought they weren't in as bad shape as Dallas was last year when Romo went down, simply because they had a better defense. And they look great coming out 5-0. But you see some problems with their offensive line. That translates to quarterback problems. And now Vikings are in a slump. Would they lose 5 in a row? Whenever they drop 6? Now Dak, as I said, beginning year, preseason's preseason. Let's see what he does during the regular season. He's only produced a tremendous season. Quite possibly, I know Brady's probably the favorite for a MVP, but you know, 8-1 Dallas Cowboys, not looking terrible. Dak's got 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 106 passer rating. He's not crushing it down the field. You know? I mean, Dez Bryant's, he's been injured, but he's averaging 18 yards a catch. Beasley and Witten just, Terrence Williams, they get over that 10 yards. They, you know, they move the ball. And, of course, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, guy's got 1,000 yards already in 9 games. If you would have said, hey, and I'm a Cowboy fan, you know this, Higgs, boys are going to be 8-1 when Romo comes back. Like, what are you talking about? Romo coming back, leave him on the bench. And he's 8-1. And as much as that pains me to say, because I like Romo, guy's got a broken back because he's been carrying a freaking team with some of the worst offenses ever. That's why the guy's been injured so much. He carries the entire team on his shoulders. 8-1, you can't take him out. How do you take him out at 8-1? 4-4, you're like, good job. Let's hand the reins over to the veteran. Stretch out this offense, get things going again. 2-6. Hey, you know what? He was right for this. The guy was a third stringer, and all of a sudden he's starting. It's tough. 5-2, 5-3. You know, he's all right, but, you know, if Romo was in there, he could throw the ball a little further. Maybe didn't make so many mistakes. It's a different game. 8-1, I don't think you question him. He's your quarterback. The worst thing for this is that this is, we saw Romo healthy behind the line like this. I mean, do we forget when they went, was that 2 years ago? He was arguably probably the best quarterback in the league that year. I mean, he had a monster year for the Cowboys. You know, he's been injury prone, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but it is a tough call to tell your quarterback, borderline Hall of Famer probably, how you're on the bench for the rookie. And again, 2 years ago, 12-4, you know, he had a great year. I mean, 34 touchdown passes. Dak's not even halfway there yet. Obviously, the last 2 years, injuries have taken a toll, and you got to worry about that. I'm utterly convinced that Jason Garrett had absolutely zero game planning with Tony Romo at the quarterback position. How many bonehead decisions have we seen this guy make? Besides icing his own kicker in Arizona, using timeouts when there's a challenge, you're losing timeouts and then challenges. You left Romo in there. You want to say the guy chokes and he throws bad interceptions. You left him no choice just to go in there and fling it all over the place. The guy put 50 up on Denver the 1 year at home, and they end up losing because their defense can't do a damn thing. But that's Romo's fault because he throws a pick with 30 seconds left. Are you kidding me? Why the hell are they even in that position? Can't the defense make one stop for the guy? How many fourth quarter comebacks does he have? What's his passer rating in the fourth quarter? I'm pretty sure it's tops in the league. He's not a bum. He's not a choke artist. There's only so much a human can do when your defense and your coach hinder you. Now with Dak, how can you not see the play call has been pulled back? You got the best line of football handed to Ezekiel Elliott. I remember the talk was, oh, we got to go after Wentz. We got to trade up, get a quarterback. Why in God's green earth are you getting a quarterback to sit behind Romo? This is a must-win year for Dallas. Romo's 36. Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? Ezekiel Elliott was the correct play. They needed a running back. Wouldn't it be great to have Ramsey at a corner position or some defensive guy, Joey Bosa, whoever, a big defensive stud to come in? Yes. But when you saw how dominant they were with Murray and Romo 2 years ago, killing it, the right call was Ezekiel Elliott behind that offensive line. And with Romo and Dez and Williams and Witten, that is the way to go. You're running the ball for 1,000 yards in 9 games. That's keeping your defense off the field. That helps a ton. That helps a ton. You know it. I know it. That defense isn't that good. That is your typical smoke and mirror defense. That's because you got Elliott just pounding the ball and Dak just stinking and dunking around the place, taking off when he has to. But Jason Garrett should be ashamed of what he did to Tony Romo and seeing how he's going now. Don't tell me, I mean, how many times have we seen a rookie quarterback? We'll just see RG3 do the same thing. You know, comes in. Oh, he's going to revolutionize the game. Colin Kaepernick. What about Cam Newton? How's Cam Newton doing this year? How's that working out for you? 15-1 last year. No Kelvin Benjamin. Holy cow, what are they going to be with him playing? They're a much better team. They're not even going to make the playoffs. Their playoffs, that light is flickering in the attic for them with the Saints tomorrow night. We'll see whose light gets turned off in that game. So I'm all for Dak. Keep him in there. Let's see what we got. Ride it out. Something goes wrong. Are you really going to be upset when Romo comes in and throws 4 touchdown passes and totally changes that offense because you got a guy that can throw the ball 50 yards down the field? Forget about it. It's a little Napoleon Dynamite. You see Napoleon Dynamite? I'm sure this is my son. He's 10. And Rex Kwando. Hilarious. So we'll go watch Napoleon Dynamite. Let's run through these Thursday games. We'll run through all the games real fast here. Let you know how I'm feeling. Actually, you know, I haven't really started. I got some games circled, but I'm just going to give you my little thoughts. A couple of these games, a couple totals here. Jags Lions over. So I'm thinking this is the week the Jags completely quit on Gus Bradley. 47. I see the Lions putting up, they can probably put up 40 themselves here, believe it or not. Steelers Browns over 49. We know Cleveland can put up some points. I have Cleveland and Dallas over. Cleveland can only put up points. But I could see the Steelers frustrated with the way things ended against Dallas last week. You know, they're going to get their points. And Cleveland has put up points all year. I don't see why it won't be any different here. Almost 50 points. They try to scare you with that 50, so I'll go over that total. Texans Raiders. This game's in Mexico City, I believe. I'll go over that 46. I'll go over that 46. Why not? So we got Saints Panthers tomorrow. Like I said, what can we say about Carolina's woes? Team's underperformed since week one. Cam Newton continues to take too many hits, tries to run the ball too much, spotty defense. I said beginning of the show, my top center last year was on Carolina. That game was their season in a microcosm, giving up a 17-point lead to the Chiefs. I think you got to take – I know it's a short week, and you don't take road teams on a short week, but – at least the Saints defense hasn't been terrible, and the Panther offense has been spotty at best. Why not take the Saints? Titans getting 3 here from the Colts. Had him as a free pick last week. Probably should have used him as a premium play. I liked him that much. I said dog outright. They took care of business. So he there catching points off that big win. Mariota looking more and more like a real NFL quarterback. Cheats passing game. They're averaging 31 a game in the last five. Four touchdown passes on the first four possessions last week for them. What's not to like? I did say the first podcast of the year, I was leaning Jags, but I went Tennessee as my sleeper AFC South pick. It's tough to go against luck, but I said when these guys played in London, I said the Colts were going to get rid of him. I said, well, not luck, but their coach, same with the Jaguars and Bradley. I said, one of these coaches ain't making it through the season. I don't think both. I think both will be gone at the end of the year. And as much as it pains me to take Tennessee as a square player, because I think I'm going to be on Tennessee after that, you know, getting points, why not? I'll sprinkle a little on them. Like I said, Jags, Lions, supposed to be an improved team this year. I thought they'd be improved. They got a bunch of great draft picks on that defense. You know, Gus Bradley's supposed to be a defensive guy. He's done. I think these guys have, what, 10, 12 wins under his leadership? That's what you want to call it? It's going to be the Lions here. Although I don't like the 6.5. You know when I say 2.5, 6.5, I want to take those dogs. I think they're begging to say, no way the Lions don't win by a touchdown here. Tampa Bay, getting 8 from the Chiefs. It's a big number. Big number there. You know, this Tampa team still trying to figure out, because I thought they'd be better. I really did. And what's there to say about Kansas City? They've won, I think, 18 of 20. 18 or less 20 they won, I believe. And nobody gives Andy Reid any props. As I think you should. They've won 5 straight. Again, Tampa, 3-1 on the road. They beat Atlanta and Carolina. You figure Tampa would be in a little better spot coming off 3 straight home games, but they're not. But the Mike Evans, I think, is a pretty good receiver. 8 points, I think I'll have to lean to the dog here. Giants and the Bears. It's at 7.5. I want to take the Bears. You know I want to take the Bears. So I can't stand the Giants. I don't think they're a good team. But that 7.5 scares me. I can't take the Bears. 6.5, 7, I'm taking the Bears. 7.5, I just have to, on principle, stay away. I had Cincy on Monday night. Give me Buffalo. Buffalo's playing better. And I had Tony George on early in the year. And he was mentioning all the assistant coaches and regime change on that Bengals sideline. And you see it. You see it. Give me Buffalo. Arizona, Minnesota. Arizona's clearly underachieving a 4-4. Minnesota, you could forgive them for losing 4 straight with no quarterback and no running back and offensive line falling apart. You know, it's a pick 'em. I think Arizona's a better team. But Alex Zimmer as a coach, I think he's going to do something to get a win here. I think Arizona's just it's not meant to be. Dolphins, Rams. Give me Miami. I can't take a rookie quarterback, home start or not. Dolphins are playing much better. Again, their offensive line is back. Since that time, totally turned things around for these guys. I remember we took them against Pittsburgh. They just lost to Tennessee. They were 1-4, and we rolled out big play on Miami. I said, yeah, no way they win here, right? Everybody's calling for Gase's head. They're terrible. They quit on their coach. Beat Pittsburgh, beat Buffalo, beat the Jets, on the road to San Diego. Here comes that little momentum talking about. I mean, the Rams. Oy. You know, and it's funny, they make a QB change off of like a win. They beat I guess that doesn't even count that they beat the Jets. But where are you going to start them? Couldn't start them on a road last, you know, you couldn't, out of the bye week, you thought maybe you'd start them against Carolina, but you're like, it's Carolina. You're not starting them on a road in the Jets, and now you got New Orleans and New England on the road up next. I guess you start them here against Miami. See what he's got. I don't think he's got much. New England off a loss. Do you lay it? Right? I mean, I look at spreads as pick the winner. It's a pick the winner type game. If you think the Patriots are going to win, you don't think they're going to win by 4. You think it's going to be a blowout. It's got to take, 13.5 on a row, but this Rams team, Niners team is bad. Again, 6 in Philly. It's up to 6.5 now. Philly and Seattle. It's a tough one. Tough. I'm leading Eagles, though. Green Bay Redskins. Obviously, I'm on a Redskins. I don't like this Green Bay team at all. I thought the Redskins were going to be the elite team in the NFC East. As you looked across the board and saw rookie quarterbacks in 2 of the other 3 teams' pockets, and then with the Giants, you know what their defense would be. So I think this is a talented group. They're 5-3. They're still alive. And I think Green Bay's reeling. They got some real problems nobody's talking about. Monday night, we talked about the Raiders. Probably go over the total here, 46. All right, short show today. That's just the way things go sometimes. But next Wednesday, be on the lookout for our Thanksgiving podcast. We'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.